Jesus. Let's welcome the Holy Spirit here this morning.
We welcome you, Jesus. We welcome you.
How great a chasm that lay between us. I could not lie in desperation. I turned to him and spoke your name into. Then through the darkness, your loving kindness, or through the shadows of my soul, the wound is painless, the end is written. Jesus Christ, my Lord. The imagine so great a mercy, one heart could fathom such boundless grace. The God of ages stand down from glory to where my sin, I beg mercy. The cross has spoken, I'm forgiven. The King of Kings called me Lord. Beautiful Savior, I am forever. Jesus Christ, my Lord. Hallelujah. The Lord has set me free. Hallelujah. I lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name. Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. The one who sent me, hallelujah, death has lost its grip upon me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my name. And see the promise, your very body began to break. And from the stars, the roaring high began to break as a big Then came the morning that sealed the promise. Your very body began to breathe, and the softness, your roaring fire, declaring peace, and so great love.
Jesus, your things are
big. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord, set me free. Hallelujah. That have lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name. Jesus Christ, my name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's the one who set me free. Hallelujah. Thou hast brought victory for me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ, my living hope.
Thank you, Jesus, for being our living hope, Lord. Thank you for being everything in our lives, Almighty God. Your mighty name.
If the Christ is Jesus, my Redeemer, there is no more for him. He is my joy, my righteousness and freedom, my steadfast love, my deep and boundless need. To this I hope, my hope is only Jesus, for my life is only bound in me. Oh, how strange and divine, I can sing, all is fine in my in me. The night is dark, but I am not forsaken. For by my side, the Savior, he will say, I'll leave alone in weeping and rejoicing. For in my knees, his power is displayed. My hope, my shepherd will defend me. It's family to me. All that night I've been one, and I shall overcome. Yet the night was through life in me. No fate I dread, I know I am forgiven. The future's sure, the price it has been paid. For Jesus bled and suffered for my pardon, and he was raised to overthrow the grave. To this I hold. My spirit is defeated. Jesus now is my all the chains are released. I can see I am free in me. With every breath, I long to follow Jesus, for he has said that he will bring me home. And day by day, I know he will renew me, until I stand with joy before the throne. To this I hope, my hope is only Jesus. All the glory ever more to him. When the race is complete, then my lips Thou repeat, yet Lord, on every place in me. When the race is complete, still my lips shall repeat, yet the suffering through cross is in me. Yet God, through Christ in me.
God, we look to you, Lord. We pray to you. We listen to your word, Lord Almighty God, and you speak to our hearts, Lord. And we are so thankful that you are in our lives, Almighty God. Sing, great are you, Lord.
You restore every heart that is broken. Pray it's your birth in our lives. Before I have, it's your birth in our lives. We hope to be wrong. With life, you love, you restore every heart that is broken. Pray. It's your brain. In our lives, when we are, it's your birth. In our lives, when we and all the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry, our bones will sing. Pray. Our and all the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will sing, our bones will sing. We pour out praise, it's your breath in our lives. We pour out our praise to you all, it's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out praise. We pour out praise. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour. Pray. So we pour out. We pour out. We pour out. We pour out. So we pour out. It's your breath in our love. We pour out that praise. We pour out praise. It's your breath in our love. We pour out your breath in our love. So we pour out praise. We pour out praise, it's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out praise, hopefully in the Lord.
Sorry that you suffered so much for our sins, Lord, but we are so thankful. Send him down from heaven, Lord, in a manly form. He became human, Lord, and he suffered. Though he was perfect, we are not, Lord. We are so thankful for what you are doing in our lives today and our journeys. We walk alongside you, and you protect us and you guide us, Lord. We thank you for every aspect of our life. We thank you for the breath in our lungs, Almighty God. Thank you, Jesus, Almighty God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Almighty God. Thank you.
We
thank
praise
you. Breath in our lungs.
Jesus, Jesus.
We thank you for our children, Lord. We thank you for our grandchildren. We thank you for our families, Lord. We thank you for our parents, Almighty God. Thank you for our families, Lord. Pray that you keep them all safe, Lord, and cherish them, Lord. Almighty God.
Thank you, Lord, that your faith continues through all generations here and beyond, through every person in this community. Your faithfulness continues through and through and through. Praise your holy name. Praise your holy name in all the earth, in all the heavens, in all the universe. Thank you, Jesus.
And all the earth will shout your praise, and our hearts will sing.
Like these bones
will sing. Praise. It's your breath in our lives.
So we pour out
praise. Pour out praise. It's your breath in our lives.
So we pour
your breath
in
our lives.
So we pour
out praise. We pour out praise. It's your breath. In our lungs,
so we pour
praise to you, Lord. Great are you, Lord.
Great are you, Lord. Great are you, Lord. Jesus, Jesus. Are you, Lord. Jesus, Jesus.
Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Thank you.
Please take a seat if you're still standing. You get to that time, don't you, when you just don't want the worship to stop. You want it to carry on and carry on. So, unfortunately, we can't. Much as we can do, but we do have encounter worships. We are planning to have one in the very near future. So please come along. It's just been beautiful this morning, just having the presence of the Holy Spirit with us. And we give thanks to God for that. I'm going to do things slightly different this morning before we send the children out, because I nearly had to get the shepherd's crook and take Mark off at the beginning because he took most of my sermon away. So I reserved the crook for Gordon, actually. I'm just a little bit loud, Jake. Are you going to just drop me down a little bit? Or is it me just shouting? I don't know. So good morning, everybody. Good morning again to everybody on Zoom. And for those on Zoom, I do apologise. We're having lots of problems with the sound this morning. So hopefully it's not distracted too much, but we will put some effort into trying to get that resolved for next week. So I do say sorry about that. So today is... I mean, this is a bit of audience participation. Today is what day? And I'm looking at the children, really, because the adults should know. But I'm looking at the children. But in case they don't know, adults can help. You're allowed. Today is? What day is it today? Don't say Sunday. You can say Sunday, but it's a special Sunday. Advent Sunday. Brilliant. Thank you. Well prompted, Lorna. It's the beginning... It's the beginning of the new Christian year, isn't it? And the beginning of a season of waiting and of watching and, most importantly, preparing. Advent literally means coming or arriving. And it's a time when we look back at when Christ first came... Oh, I'll stick my teeth in. Christ's first coming to Bethlehem, and we look forward to his coming again in glory. So you'll see at the front of the church, we have... our Advent ring or wreath, whatever you want to call it. It's that thing there. And it contains four candles on the outside. I could get a glamorous assistant to point out, but I won't. And there's one in the center. These candles tell us of God's preparation or for the world and our preparation to receive him. So it's again, it's all about being prepared. Advent also invites us to remember Jesus' birth 2,000 years ago, but to prepare our hearts today to welcome him afresh anew. So we said it's a special Sunday, it's Advent Sunday. Advent is the reason that we get things ready for something amazing. It is, isn't it? Christ came into the world. And who can guess, again at the children, what are we getting ready for? Easter. Thank you. I was expecting Christmas, but I can rely on Vicky to come up with Easter. We are getting ready for, I've just mentioned it, Christmas, and also it's a party time, isn't it? We're going to celebrate the birth of Jesus. We are going to celebrate Jesus' birth. Memo to self, you wear the right teeth. And to help us get ready, we use the Advent wreath. So let's take a look at it in a bit more detail. So again, at the children, what shape is the Advent wreath? Did I hear somebody say square? Because that's not the right answer. Anybody? Do you know what shape it is? It's a circle. And do you know why it's a circle? Now, does anybody know why it's a circle? No beginning and no end. Absolutely. It reminds us that God's love is never ending. Just like the wedding ring that we all wear. It's no beginning and it's got no end and is always with us. What about the greenery? What does anybody think about the greenery? Because that's got significance as well. No? Anybody? Grown-ups? Not so grown-ups? New life? Possibly. Yes, possibly. It does remind us of life, not necessarily new life, but Jesus came to give us life now and forever. And then we've got the four candles on the outside. Now, if you know your
spirits of the Holy Spirit, four of them, are in there, and fruit isn't one of them, Vicky. Fruits of the Holy Spirit, gifts, fruit, okay? The four candles, one is hope. God keeps his promises. The other one is peace. Jesus brings peace to our hearts. Joy, good news that makes us smile and sing. And love. God so loves us so much that he sent us his son. And every week, as we all know, we light one candle to remind us that Jesus, the light of the world, is getting closer. What about the middle candle? What's the middle candle represent? Anybody? I just heard a whisper over here. Jesus' birth, yes. We don't light that until Christmas Day because the candle reminds that Jesus, at his birth, is the centre of Christmas and the centre of our lives. So, to wrap this bit up for the youngsters so they can go in a second, but they've got one thing to help me with. The Advent wreath tells us of four things. God's love never ends. Jesus brings life. He gives us hope, peace, joy, and love. And we should get our hearts ready for him. I have a feeling of... Is the PowerPoint on, Steve? Yes? No? Don't you love technology? Ah! So I should have put that up earlier. It's about being prepared. So just remember what I said a couple of minutes ago, being prepared. Phew, that's a blank one, so you can forget about it. And then we get to lighting of the first candle. Get there. So we're going to light the candle, and I need a volunteer. Isaiah, seeing it's your birthday, you can do that. Can you be trusted with flames? Can I ask Grandma and Granddad? 12 now. Listen, I don't trust Matt with flames, let alone... Do you want to come up? You can light any candle, but not the big one. All right? Do you want to do that for us? Brilliant. Thank you so much. So I'm going to say something. I'm going to put on the screen a response. So today, we light the first candle, the candle of hope. And we all say, please change, Steve, help, thank you. Come, Lord Jesus, fill us with your hope. Amen. Let's pray together before the youngsters go out. Dear Jesus, thank you for coming into the world. Help us to get ready for you this Advent. Fill our hearts with hope, peace, joy, and love. And be with the children now as they go to their groups and learn more of you. Amen. Okay, thank you. You've been very good. So, clue, next 3 weeks, we're going to need more assistance. Oh, there you go. Right. Thank you, Tracy. Thank you, Pam. So the power of preparation. Have you ever had someone perhaps ring you up and suddenly say, I'm just around the corner, I'll see you in 2 minutes, and your house looks like a tornado's whistled through it. I think we've all been there, haven't we? Kettle isn't boiled, socks on the chairs, crumbs on the worktops, the dog bowl hasn't been washed for weeks, and suddenly you enter state as this Olympic marathon cleaning in 2 minutes flat. It's amazing, isn't it, how motivated we become when we know someone is about to arrive. And through life, we prepare for all sorts of things, don't we? Trips, exams, meetings, birthdays, holidays. And when Christmas is coming, we prepare even more. Finding gifts, putting up decorations, putting up the lights, planning meals, writing cards, all sorts of things. But actually, Advent asks us a deeper question. Are we prepared not just for Christmas, on Christmas Day, but are we prepared for Christ himself? Not yet, Lorda, not yet. There are many passages in the scripture that shape the season. And it's all about being called to be prepared. And a few examples, Isaiah 40, verses 3 to 5, that says, "A voice of one calling, in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord. The glory of the Lord will be revealed." And in Mark 13, verses 32 to 37, "Keep watch, stay awake. If the owner of the house knew when the thief was coming, he would not let his house be broken into." It's quite true, isn't it? Yeah, I think the thief's just going to come to the door. "Here, come in, take all my things." You keep watch, you keep awake. You're prepared for that person. And in Romans 13, verses 11 to 14, "The hour has already come. Wake up from your slumber, because salvation is nearer now than when we first believed." And all of these scriptures show that Advent is not a cozy season of nostalgia. It's an alarm clock, really. It's a wake-up call, a reminder to be spiritually alert, ready and attentive. I'm going to say that again. To be spiritually alert, ready, preparation, attentive. People that know me know that I can get quite emotional sometimes. And I wasn't going to, I'm off script already, just to warn you. I hope dinner's not in the oven just yet. Vicky and I went, and we went around Southwark Cathedral in London this week, actually. We came across this book, and it's called The Spirit of Christmas. And it's a 25-day reflection or devotion about Advent, but where the Holy Spirit is present and is visible through the Advent story. And I'm going to refer to it again in a little bit. But it's about that spiritually, Christmas is a very important time for us, isn't it? More of that in a bit. Let's just have a quick recap of the candles, and you should be able to answer these questions now because the children have just done it. Just warning. So the first candle, the candle of hope, do you know what its alternative name is? Anybody? The prophet's candle. Did you know that? No, every day is a school day. Just for you, Kerry. In Isaiah 9, verses 2, 6 and to 7, it says, "The people walking in darkness have seen a great light, for to us a child is born." The prophets were waiting for the Messiah with longing and confidence. They knew he was coming. Hope prepares us by lifting eyes off the current circumstances and onto God's promises. Hope reminds us that God always keeps his word. Anybody know what the Candle of Peace's alternative name is? You're supposed to say something to give me time to have a drink. The Bethlehem Candle. Jesus comes to bring peace. Not just the absence of conflict, but wholeness and reconciliation. Now, it's no coincidence, is it, that last week we had the reconciliation service? Jesus coming to the world is about reconciliation, to remove all of our sins. And in Micah, the 5 verses 2 to 5, the summary of it is, "He will be our peace." Preparing for Christmas means allowing God's peace to enter our troubled places, our anxieties, our relationships, our worries. And how many people think that the commercialism of Christmas, off target again, how many people think the commercialism of Christmas just adds to all of that? It's horrible, isn't it? I say this every year, that my birthday is at the end of September. And normally, in years gone by, at the end of September, the Christmas stuff was starting to go in shops. It's August now. And 25, 30 years ago, we had a friend who worked in Tesco's in Bar Hill, near Cambridge. His son worked in Tesco's. And on Boxing Day, He was working overtime, taking the Christmas decorations down and putting Easter eggs out. Where is Christ in that? Well, let's just lift the mood slightly. The third candle, the candle of joy. We talked about joy when we were doing the worship, didn't we? And its other name? The shepherd's candle. The shepherds were the first to hear the good news. And in Luke chapter 2, verse 10, it says, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Joy doesn't mean, though, that everything is perfect. We all know that, don't we? We know that from life. But what it does mean is that Jesus is with us. And then the last candle, the candle of love. I like this one. The angel's candle. God so loved the world so much, he sent his son. 1 John 4, 9 to 11 says, excuse me, this is love, not that we have loved God, but he loved us. Love prepares us by softening our hearts towards God and others. And then the biggie, the one in the middle, is called the Christ candle, for obvious reasons. Lit on Christmas Day, it reminds us, as I said to the others, Christ is at the centre of Advent and the centre of our lives. Okay, that's the recap done. Then we'll start. Good old Baptist tradition says you've got 3 points to deliver. I've got four because we've got four candles. So we're going to reflect further on those four candles as we prepare our hearts and minds towards Christmas. Point number one, prepare like the prophets. Expectation. The prophets lived in expectations. They were always anticipating what was coming. That's what they were doing. That's what their job was, wasn't it? They believed that God would act, even when the world seemed silent or dark. Was that a thing 2,000 years ago or for now? There's some dark times around right now, aren't there? Matthew 24, verses 42 to 44 reminds us that, therefore, we've said this before, keep watch. The Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. Preparation begins with expectation. It means living with an awareness that God is near, present, and moving. And I think we've witnessed that this morning through our worship, haven't we? So, bit of thinking for you guys now. What would change in your life if you woke each morning expecting God to move in your life? I'm just going to let that sit there for a couple of seconds while you have a think about that. What would change in your life if you woke each morning expecting God to move? Maybe you'd expect him to speak to you when you're in your quiet time. Is God speaking to you during your quiet time? Or you're expecting him to lead? Is he asking you to do things? Is he encouraging you to do something new, something fresh? If you're to do something new or something fresh, you just don't go, ah, that's it, I'm going to learn to play the violin. You don't just do it, you have to get ready to do it. You have to buy the violin, you have to get the lessons, you have to do the music. Random example, but there we go. Point two, prepare like John the Baptist, repentance. Again, tenuous link. We'll come back to that in a second. But John the Baptist's message was simple, wasn't it? Matthew 3, verses 1 to 3, it says, prepare the way for the Lord, repent. Repent is not gloom, it's making space. It's clearing away the clutter. It's turning your heart towards God. turning your heart towards God, maybe again. Before guests arrive at our house, we tidy up. Before Christ arrives in our hearts, we need to clear the mess too. And we started to address some of that last week, didn't we, when Neil was here. And it's always good to keep up with the housekeeping. As we said last week, it's not a one-off. That's it, job done, because the house will get dirty again. And next week it'll get dirty again. We keep having to do our housekeeping. So for each and every one of us, what needs clearing out for us this Advent? Vicky and I were out with some friends last night, and she's having a few family issues. And I think it's fair to say that she's hurting, isn't she, Vicky? So where's the forgiveness? Is there any unforgiveness that she's hanging on to, that the rest of the family's hanging on to? What about us? Have we got unforgiveness in our lives? What about anger? What about bitterness? And I can probably look around this room and everybody, if I was to ask you to put your hands in up, how many people are too busy at the right now? Too much busyness. Yeah. Everybody's busy. And what about neglect of prayer or scripture? Are we too busy to take time out to spend time in prayer or reading the Bible? I'm guilty. I'll put my hand up first. I am guilty. So to deal with all of that, repentance is preparation. Prepare like Mary. Boy, did she have some preparation to do when she had got the message from Angel Gabriel. She surrendered and she was obedient, didn't she? And I think Mary's response to the angel approaching her was the most beautiful in Scripture. Luke 1:38 says, I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said. There was no, get out of it, what are you on about? You're talking rubbish. Okay, that's what you want for me. She just accepted it because she knew it was from God. Mary prepared for Jesus by saying yes. She didn't say, no, I'm not having this. Take it away. Go away. Not interested. Thank you very much. Ask somebody else. She just said yes. Yes to God's plan. Yes to risk, uncertainty, cost. And if we think back about the times that they were living in, and there's a, if I had time, I'd read you a chapter after this because it's really good about how they describe. How did Mary actually tell her mum? Mom, I'm going to say it now anyway. This is a precy of it. Mom, something to tell you. Are you right, dear? Not really. Why, what's the matter? I'm pregnant. What? Well, we've never left you alone with Joseph. How could that be? How far gone are you? A few hours. Not because normally when you announce your pregnancy, it's all like 12 weeks, aren't you? Angel Gabriel said last night that I'm pregnant and I'm pregnant now. She would have been scorned. She would have been cast out. We don't know whether she was living with her parents at the time. You know, whether she got thrown out of home. That's the sort of thing we perhaps expect these days, isn't it? You're pregnant. Out the door now. Yeah. So certainly she said yes to the extraordinary. This was not normal by any stretch of the imagination, was it? And preparation for Christ entering our lives also often looks like surrender, doesn't it? Placing our lives again in his hands. What does Jesus want us to do next? We have to say yes to what he wants us to do. We have to be prepared to go and do it. We have to step out of the boat and do it with him at our side. And there may be risk, it may be uncertain, and there may be a cost to us. But it's certainly saying yes to the extraordinary. I like it when God does things, and he does it all the time, doesn't he? We bought this book after prepared, And there's a chapter or the paragraph in day eight, and it says the courage to say yes. And I'd already written it down. So I thought that was interesting. Thank you, God. And there's a bit at the end. I mean, I could read you the whole passage, really. Excuse me. Let me just find it. We're going back to what I said about the uncertainty and the cost. Even at her young age, Mary may not even have been yet aware of all the details or implications, but Mary understood the principle. God decreed it. The Holy Spirit will carry it out. I don't need to know more, but what option would I have but to say yes? You don't say no to God, do you? And then the last paragraph of this chapter says, what does it take to get the heart ready for Christmas? It takes attention to our heart focus and attitude. It takes guarding against overcommitment and fatigue that can adversely affect our approach to the holiday season. It requires purposeful intention that sees through trappings and glitter, and it eliminates all but the necessary to throw the spotlight on the story that captivates as none other does. And the thing for me about this section is, and we talked about it last week, it's about choice. The choice that we make, the choices that we make to say yes, to obey, to forgive, to move on. And we can see this in the Advent story, can't we? Hopefully we can. So another pondering question for you. Where is God inviting you to say yes this Advent time? Just going to let that sit for a second. Where is God inviting you to say yes this Advent? Last point. Prepare like the shepherds. Worship and witness. The shepherds did two things. They hurried to Jesus and they shared the good news. They didn't keep it to themselves. They told everybody about it. Do we do that? Do we hurry to Jesus? Do we share the good news of Jesus every day? Luke chapter 2, verses 17 and 20. They spread the word concerning what they had been told. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God. Being prepared is not passive. We can't just sit on the sofa and wait for the room to tidy itself up. That'd be great, wouldn't it? We have to do something. We have to make the choice to do it, to be prepared for the people to come visit us. We can't just keep sitting on the TV and watching EastEnders or whatever we do. It leads us to worship. It leads us to share. It leads us to serve. So hopefully I've challenged you a little bit this morning. And another question for you. How can you reflect Jesus in simple ways during Advent? We talk about the church being a church without walls, don't we? It's all very nice in here. We all love each other. We're all happy, soulful people. What happens when we walk outside the door? Can we say kind words to people? How many times when you walk into a shop, you say, morning. It doesn't take much just to put a smile on your face to say, hey, I like your dress you're wearing today. That's nice. Lovely to see you here, Mark. Hope you had a good baptism last weekend, guys. An invitation. There are some people that give up their Christmas day to work in places where they provide meals for people that are homeless. Invite your neighbour around. Maybe you don't get to see them that often. Do you want to come round and have a coffee? Because that person might be lonely, might need just a friendly chat, but you have to invite them. A donation. Oh, that could be money, couldn't it? It could be a donation of time. It could be a donation of goods. How many advent calendars are you giving away this year, Gordon? Do you need any more? You always have to more. So if you've got anything spare, Gordon will use it for his parcels at Christmas. How many do you hope to do this year, Gordon? Wow. 800 parcels, all provided by donations, whether it's financial so they can go out and buy it, or people actually, yeah, there's 500 advent calendars. Which reminds me, Mark, we need to get ours out before you can't take them home. All right. What about a prayer? Have you got the courage to say yes to the prompting that when you're out in the street, you see somebody that might be a bit look upset or whatever, say, excuse me, do you mind praying if I pray for you? That's stepping out the boat for some people. It would be for me. But for that one person, would mean the world to them. As Neil Whitmer will say, when you've done it, did anybody die? It's not going to kill you by praying for somebody, is it? They might think you're a little, a couple of screws loose or whatever, but you know that you've followed God's prompting. Phone call or text. How easy is it to just pick up the phone and say, I haven't seen you for a little while, are you okay? Can I do anything for you? Do you need anything? Would you like to come round for Christmas Day? Bless you. There's the invitation. Come round for Christmas Day. And they may reply and sort of say, well, I'm having a bit of a tough time right now. And we know there are people within the church that are. Just be a listening ear for them. You don't necessarily have to say anything. Just let them get it off the chest. They will feel so much better. So just like the shepherds, worship and witness are both acts of preparing, because you can't do that without preparing it in your head and your mind what you're going to do, can you? You can't do it without making the choice, the decision to go away and do it. So it's all about everyday preparation, bringing it home, if you like. We've talked about candles, we've talked about scriptures, we've talked about biblical characters. But Advent preparation also touches ordinary corners of ordinary life, of everyday life. In our homes, create an atmosphere of peace. Because I can imagine right now, especially if you've got young children, where they're all getting really excited and hyper. And I know you're angels, so that's not a problem for you guys. But you know what it's like at the end of term, the kids just get hyped, Christmas is coming. The house is manic. Just want to go hide in the corner, just a bit of peace and quiet. In our workplaces, for those that are still working, being people of integrity and encouragement, be there for somebody else. Whatever you do day by day in the workplace is noticed. People see what you do and how you do it and what you see or what you speak and how you say it. Let them think, why is Michael different to everybody else in the workplace? Because he's carrying Jesus in his heart. In our personal relationships, cringe time, forgiving quickly, loving deeply. That can be hard sometimes, can't it? And in our spiritual lives, making space for scripture, silence, prayer, worship. It's all part of bringing it home. So ask yourself, what would my December look like if my main goal was preparing room for Jesus? Preparing room for him. In Revelation 3, verse 20, Jesus says, here I am. I stand at the door and knock. He still knocks today. He knocks on homes, he knocks on hearts, he knocks on busy schedules, he knocks on tired minds. He knocks not with force, but with love. The hymn Joy to the World says, let every heart prepare him room. This Advent, may we prepare room in our thoughts, in our priorities, in our relationships, in our decisions, and in our hearts. Let's pray. Lord Jesus Christ, as Advent begins, we ask you to awaken our hearts. Teach us to live with expectation like the prophets, with repentance like John, with surrender like Mary, and with worship like the shepherds. Prepare our hearts to receive you afresh. Clear away what distracts us. Fill us with hope, peace, joy, and love. Help us to make room for you, not only this season, but every day. Come, Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Mark and the team. As the team just go up to the front, if you need prayer, we're going to start offering this every week now because prayer, as Mark said at the beginning, is important and it works. If you need prayer, please come forward. If you need anything, that's something I've spoken about this morning or just life in general, people are wearing badges that I'm prepared to pay for this morning, please come to the front. And we'd love to pray for you. But please don't go home if you're anxious or struggling with whatever it is this morning. Go home with peace, love, joy, and hope in your hearts this morning. Thank you, Mark.
Father, how deep your love is for us, so vast it's beyond all measure. You gave your only son to make us your treasure, and I am in awe of this gift. You enjoyed the pain and sorrow of seeing Jesus suffer for my sins. Yet this sacrifice brought me life. I will not boast in my own strength or wisdom, but only in Christ's death and resurrection, knowing his wounds have paid my ransom. Amen. Let's all stand and sing How Deep the Father's Love for Us.
How deep the Father's love for us.
How far
beyond all measure that he should give himself his son to make our riches treasure.
How great is the pain of seeing loss,
how far the tempest takes away, as wounds destroy the chosen one, remain his own sin.
Behold the
wonder of God.
I see the bounty
shouted. I hear my barking voice.
Your lamps above the sun. It was my sin that tempted them, and the cause of conflict. His love, he brought me life. I will
not boast in anything. No one knows it is done. I will trust in Jesus Christ. His death and resurrection.
What should I gain from his reward? I cannot even
answer. But this I know in all my heart. He's worth my ransom.
What should I gain from his reward? I cannot give
back
but this
I know but his wounds have made my ransom.
Thank you, God. Thank you for being our lives, Lord, for being our Saviour, Almighty God. Thank you for sending the Holy Spirit to live within us and guide us, Almighty God. Amen. Praise your mighty name, Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right, Lord. Amen. Let's just say one more last prayer. Lord, we thank you for this time of preparation and celebration. We pray that you bless every aspect of our lives this week as we step out into this world. We pray for those who are struggling in this season, financially or emotionally. We pray that you draw alongside them, give them protection and guide us, Lord. In your mighty name, amen. Right. Teas and coffees in the back. A bit of Isaiah's cake. Anything we've forgotten? Probably. Have a wonderful week. If you don't come back, enjoy some fellowship. We're going to go for 6 o'clock on Friday. So anybody who'd like to sing? Gordon. Right. So, yeah. Come and join us. We're going to cut the cake. Thank you, everybody. Right. Lovely to see you. Have a wonderful week.
to offer have I, incense owns a deity nigh. Prayer and praising voices raising, worship him God most high.
Oh, star of wonder, star of night, star with royal beauty bright, westward leading, still proceeding, guide us to thy perfect height.
Myrrh is mine, its bitter perfume breathes a life of gathering gloom, sorrowing, sighing, bleeding, dying, sealed in the stone called tomb.
Oh, star of wonder, star of night, star with royal beauty bright, westward leading, still proceeding, guide us to thy perfect height.
Anyway.